I'm Ben Brown, and this is the Madisonian Podcast. In light of the recent overturning of the abortion precedent Supreme Court case Roe v. Wade, I joined protesters on the streets to ask questions and discuss this ruling.
I noticed on your sign it said you can still be pro-choice and a Christian. Mm-hmm. How did you sort of contemplate with your faith? Like, how do you like justify that?
Yeah. So my mother is a devout Christian, and also at one point in her life needed to make the decision whether or not she needed an abortion to save her life. So she always taught me it is between the woman and God.
And what faith do you, what denomination?
I'm a United Methodist. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I am planning on going to seminary. I'm studying to be a chaplain. Faith is a huge part of my life. That does not mean nobody should justify their faith to take control of somebody else's body.
So what was your, can you sort of explain, like, what was your reaction to, especially like about a month ago when we saw the leaked ruling, what was sort of your reaction as sort of having that faith background, but also the pro-choice background?
I was devastated. You know, it just, I felt helpless, completely and totally helpless. There was nothing I could do. I was very thankful because I had just gotten an IUD like 2 weeks before.
And what would you say to like some of the people who are very like, you know, rely on their faith a lot and don't see like pro-choice as an option or are very against abortion? What would you sort of say to that or react to that?
Yeah, I would say like it is not your relationship with God, and it doesn't. So in my opinion, everybody has a relationship with God, whether they believe, whether they don't believe, whether they're Muslim, Jewish, you know, all the religions, everybody has a relationship with God. And that is between them and God. It is between nobody else. Nobody should be making these laws about what you can and can't do with your body.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
I noticed you're asking to sign a petition.
Yeah, so this is basically pointing out that, you know, the Democratic Party has had 50 years to codify Roe v. Wade, including many times, you know, when there's, well, I mean, the vast majority of people in the U.S., you know, are, the polls show there's clear support for abortion rights. And so, like many other key priorities for ordinary working class people and oppressed folks, they, whenever it comes to our priorities, it's too difficult. There's not enough money or whatever. But when they want to bail out the banks on Wall Street, or when they want to basically, you know, deny, cut funding for public services, you know, they do whatever they want on that front. So we're saying if they don't go all out now to make, you know, abortion the law of the land, and not just that, but like free and available on demand and inclusive of trans healthcare, then they don't deserve our vote. And what we actually need is to build an independent mass left working class party that unapologetically stands on, you know, for our issues.
So people are saying there's sort of this reaction of, let's just vote in the next election. Let's vote. Let's see these like results and vote against them. Like, let's vote against the fascism. What would you sort of say to that? Why is that sort of not gonna work?
It's been tried many times. Let's vote for more Democrats. Let's vote for better Democrats. I mean, if that strategy was gonna work, they wouldn't have essentially sabotaged Bernie's campaign and killed it basically with all sorts of undemocratic maneuvers. And so that strategy basically says, like, if you keep trying to do the lesser evil, both parties continue to get worse and more to the right. So you have the Republicans are batshit crazy and the Democrats are like Reaganites, you know, from the 80s. And they don't actually stand, you know, for the issues that they say they do. So that's why we say mass protests, sit-ins, direct actions, blockades, strikes need to be done to actually disrupt business as usual in a major way, to to basically force them to capitulate on these issues, because that's the only thing that'll work. So that's all we say. Yeah, absolutely.
What organization are you?
Socialist Alternative.
Awesome,
so
awesome.
If you're interested, this is a publication we put out.
Yeah, well, I mean, to kind of piggyback off of what Teddy was just saying, in particular, it's, you know, just like one more kind of like point towards starting this kind of becoming part of a larger movement that is, you know, is speaking for the majority of us who actually do support abortion rights. Because, you know, we've been, or at least for me, I think, like, I've been voting for the lesser of two evils for a while, and it, look where it's got us. Things are only getting worse. It doesn't matter. And so that's kind of where I am coming from at this point.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah. I love your signs. Can I ask you a couple questions?
Certainly.
Yeah. What was sort of your reaction to this ruling, and like, how does this sort of personally relate to you, even as a man?
Oh, it's evil. It's about controlling women and controlling female-bodied people and all of us. It cheapens, you know, as somebody, I'm a straight man. I'm too old to change. But I, you know, I love women, and what the fuck are they doing? It's an attack on women's health. It has nothing to do with the babies. If they love babies so much, they'd have good fetal health care and nutrition and, you know, that whole drill. But this is just an ugly, ugly attack. And I've been a member of a group here in Madison for, Jesus, over 30 years, Men Stopping Rape. And so when I joined, I mean, huge problem. Important, talk to men, great. But what came up was all the ignorance about sex, all the fear and hate of women and their bodies.
So right now we're sort of reversing back to like a law from like the 1850s or whatever.
The 1450s, I won't argue.
Yeah, right, exactly. So that was when it was in legislation. But why is this like, what does that mean to you, like being involved in this for a good amount of time?
Well,
what does that mean to you to go back so far?
Without, sort of pun not intended, it's a rear guard action. The patriarchy, the notion of absolute male control, is evil, stupid, never proven, and it hurts us to try to keep it up all the time. Well, with good reason, we're scared of each other, but we can't learn that from women who have at least as much reason to be afraid of men and angry at men. Instead, we have to always be, you know, we're not in, there's nothing about us that's female. You know, look at the skeletons, baby. Female skeletons are not pink, you know? But, so to me, this is a desperate attempt to keep unfettered male privilege in place. As long as women have to be frightened of becoming pregnant and not being able to terminate the pregnancy, which should be their absolute 100% right, they have to worry about it. And in the broad way, this is what organized religion has always done to women and to men. Because the fact that we have sexual, that we're sexual in our nature, that's dirty, and we have to deny it and control it. And meanwhile, they make hay and take our money and start wars and do all this other crap. So to me, this, I mean, sure, I'm not mansplaining to the female persons here or something, but this is an attack on all of us. They hate us. They fear us. God, Jesus loves you. Now, except for if you might be gay, then I think in one of the books he says he's in favor of killing us. You know, it's like, what? You know, where's the love? I don't call them pro-life. I mean, pro-life would be a whole different... I think more people who have abortions are pro-life because they want the baby to be, the eventual baby, to be born into a time when they can support the baby, et cetera, et cetera. Because as a culture, we don't support them. Jesus, half of Europe, socialist Europe, ooh, scary. They have a year of maternal and paternal leave. If they had paternal leave in the U.S., I don't think a lot of fathers initially would do anything about it because they'd have to rationalize it to their male coworkers.
I'm not gay or anything. I'm just there to,
you know, connect with the, you know, punch my wife in the shoulder. She done good. She dropped my baby. So.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Can I ask you a couple of questions?
Sure.
As a mother yourself, yep. What was sort of your reaction to this ruling?
Just really scared and upset for my kids' generation that, like, they might be forced to have a family before they're ready.
Yeah. So you are very open on your sign that you had two abortions and two kids. So what is sort of the importance of coming out there and saying that?
This is actually the first time I've been so open about it, and it feels a little weird because I see some people, like, staring at it or nudging me. But it's also, like, it just shouldn't be such a shameful thing. It's a reality. Like, some people mess up, maybe don't use birth control once, which is my case, and then, you know, pregnant. It's like... Yeah, I think.
What would that have meant to you if you were, you know, like, in that position when you were about to have those abortions and
couldn't get them?
It was illegal. Yeah.
Oh man, I don't know what it would have meant. It probably would have meant trying to marry someone that I wasn't wanting to marry, trying to make it work. Like, it would have been a totally different life. I was a lot younger. Like, you know, I've had my own career for decades. It would have really messed up my whole path. It's like, it would have been really different. Yeah.
Anything else that you would like to add?
I mean, we're a generation where we always had abortion as a right. And so I think it's hard to even imagine what that would have been like. Like, I think we took it for granted. Like, we had choices and we could afford it and we had health care. So, like, I mean, I think it's just hard to imagine, like, not having our choices and that somebody who's outside of our lives can make that choice for us. It's devastating. I think we're all just absorbing that. And don't even know.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yep.
This episode was produced and edited by Ben Brown and Owen Zanny in association with We Are Productions. Original music for this episode was composed by Milo Brown. To learn more about the Madisonian Podcast, visit our website at themadisonianpodcast.com. Any questions, concerns, or business inquiries can be emailed to me at ben@themadisonianpodcast.com. Thank you so much for listening, and you'll be hearing from me again shortly.